You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the City Kitty Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are missing a kitty today. Ronnie is not here. She's on a little vacay, but she'll be home tomorrow. So safe travels to Ronnie Chanel, who's out in, I believe, Georgia or something like that, down south or something. So, shout out to Ronnie. So it's just me and Judge Miles, who wasn't here last week.
That's right.
Holding it down.
Yep.
This week. So we happy to have you back, Judge. How was your vacation?
Thank you, boo. Vacation was good. Just had to do a little bit of me time.
Okay.
You know, the crazy job got me not having no time. So I had to take some time out for me and my guy a little bit. I ain't trying to be, you know what I'm saying, kicked out the house because the bitch got too many jobs.
You can't.
Had to make sure I got them balls. Sorry, y'all.
You know what? You gotta have balance. You know what I'm saying? We go hard in the paint. You gotta have balance. You gotta have some me time. Like, I need to get a massage. My neck is so stiff. Anybody on live, if you got a masseuse,
okay,
please let me know. And don't try to get in my DM with your rusty hands. Talk about, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take your little rusty jail hands and get the hell on. Hey, Siobhan.
One of the girls that does a show on the network, Casey, is a massage therapist.
Okay, well, Casey,
I can get your info.
Thank you. You see what I'm saying? Dave plugged me just that fast. So you missed your chance to be in the DM. So try to give me a massage. So we're glad to have you back. Just in case for the people who are in the podcast world who can't see me, I got my sunglasses on. And for the people on Facebook Live, you see me on my Facebook with my glasses on.
And welcome to all of you. All of you
welcome.
Who's tuning in right now to the City Kitties.
Welcome.
We are happy to have you. We're going to get into some good, deep discussion today. Is you ready?
I'm ready. That's why I got my glasses on, because I'm feeling real cool.
Okay, you feeling real. And you looking real cool.
Thank you.
By the way.
You do too, man.
Thank you.
You do too. Them blurry slaps.
Thank you, baby. You know the holidays done passed. What you do for the holidays?
What does that mean, house hot? That means you go to everybody's house, you get a plate, you drink a little bit.
You ate everybody's food?
No, I sample. Because somebody had Eckrich. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to lie. He grilled up some Eckrich's sausages, and I was like, you know what? That was cool, fam. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of sample. You know what? As a matter of fact, I think I did eat at everybody's house.
I be scared to eat at people's house because if they anything like me, I can't cook. That's a known fact. Everybody know I can't cook. I look cute, but I can't cook. And then if people be having, you know, any type of cats or animals, I don't eat at people's house.
Yeah.
They got animals.
Yeah,
I just don't. So I ain't eat.
I mean, like, you can't cook like.
I mean, I can make shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all gonna eat, but it ain't gonna be five
you
course.
Gonna eat, yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Your chicken might not be done in the middle, but you gonna get a little taste of chicken. You know what I'm saying?
Like the chicken tastes like wood.
Yeah. Just like wood.
Well, yeah, so I did. I house hop. So, you know, we are back in the swing of things.
Okay.
And if anybody knows anything about our show, you know that we keep it funny. So we always kind of delve into what we call kitty litter.
Yep.
And where we get on the topics of the day and kind of let everybody know what's happening in these streets.
In the streets.
So I always leave that up to my girl Judge, because Judge got her finger to the pulse, period.
First of all, did you see all of the fights that was happening over the weekend? Like, I don't know what it is about barbecue, sun, and people, but they was scrapping the whole weekend.
Crime out. That's what happens.
What was that about?
I don't know. So everybody, did anybody see the Disneyland brawl?
No, tell me about it.
Okay.
They was fighting at Disneyland?
At the happiest place on earth.
With
okay?
Mickey Mouse and Minnie
With Mickey Mouse?
Mouse.
Ariel like this. Ariel is like about to get knocked
God.
Out. You
Please
know what I'm saying?
Me what happened. Why are they fighting at Disneyland?
So basically it went viral. It was a family feud.
Okay.
I'm thinking over pretzel sticks or maybe elephant ears, because that's the only reason I can see socking the shit out of my cousin at Disneyland is if he put his hand in my elephant ear. But they got to fighting, and I mean like it was about six people. It was three women, two men. The mama was in the wheelchair. They hit the mama.
In the wheelchair?
They knocked the mama off the hub around.
Come on, man.
I don't know if the cousin was gay, because the way he was
punching his punches was a little fruity.
You know what I'm saying? And then he socked the girl cousin.
Oh,
and he socked the girl
cousin.
Now,
you
cousin.
Know I got to be that person to always ask, was they black or white?
They was black.
Damn! Was black. I knew it because the way you, I knew it wasn't no Caucasian family knocking their grandma out the goddamn chair.
Like they won't.
I mean, but come
but,
on.
Yeah, at Disneyland, man. Yeah, that's when 10%
enough
flirt.
Is enough.
And also, I heard they was getting down to Chicago, though.
They was getting down to Chicago. Well, you know that's Chirac.
I know, but these were all women.
Okay.
And I'm presuming because it's the baseball game, white women.
Oh, so we did.
Yes, it was.
All white women.
Europeans.
Yes, all white women.
Acting a fool.
All white women.
I feel a little better. I feel a little better.
Becky would act a fool, okay?
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Beer. Sauerkraut and some Kohl's cash. Okay. We'll have these bitches acting crazy. Okay.
Okay. So they was fighting, and then also, if you don't know, if you're not from Detroit, y'all might not know what this means. But right now, this saying is going viral. We're on the lodge with it. We on the lodge with it. What does that mean?
What does it mean? Because I see it, but I didn't watch it.
Man, first of all, over the week of the holiday week, you had some individuals. They had black people. They also had a couple of Middle Eastern people that's in those Chargers, those, Scat Packs, Hellcats, and all these things. They shut down the lodge and did donuts on the lodge. Donuts. I'm talking about there are tire tracks. Now, if y'all don't know what the lodge is, it's a freeway, people. You're supposed to drive through the freeway.
It is a major freeway.
Not stop and do donuts. And then, because social media is so prevalent, we had some dummy, a young lady who's screaming all in the background, "We on the lodge with it. We on the lodge with it." She's recording everything. So, of course, you know, the easiest way to catch a criminal was on Facebook.
Absolutely.
The police didn't get hold of it. And the name has went viral. You have Tommy Walker, who is the owner of Detroit versus Everybody, who has made a shirt that says "We on the lodge with it" as
We're
well.
On the lodge with it.
You have people that have made raps off of it. I think his name is Cash MG or something. He made a rap. You got people jitting on the lodge with the song in the background. I mean, it has went crazy.
So, in other words, what y'all telling me is, because I work at the cemetery, I'm finna have some clients.
Yep.
Because people outside being stupid on the lodge with it.
On the lodge with it. In these scat packs.
Okay, I didn't know. Oh, so that's when the chief was like, "I'm gonna be okay, y'all crazy." You hear what I'm saying? The chief about to be like, "I'm on the lodge with it."
And
okay?
They taking people cars. So if you got one of those fast cars, they say that if they catch you behaving in that manner, they're going to take your car. But here's the thing.
How you going to take my car?
The song that they made up, "We on the lodge with it," the guy, one of his lyrics is, "If we can't do what the car is made for, what the fuck we got it for?"
Ooh.
Now, that's the question. These are racing vehicles. You know, these are chargers that are fast.
That's a good question.
Why do they have them if they're not allotted a time to at least race fast? Like, I just feel like, what's that about?
They can go to M1 anytime they want and get track time.
Okay.
And have fun.
Okay. But MIS, you don't think the freeway is the MIS. Right
well,
place for
well, where's M1?
If it is
yeah, where's M1?
If
please
it's a sanctioned event, yes, I'm totally good with it. My issue was, all the people that were like, "Hey, I'm a nurse and I work at the hospital and I can't get to work because these idiots closed the road down."
They had another freeway.
Well, you know what?
They could have been on 94 with it.
I just love Detroit. Why my insurance rate's so high. Also Detroit. We on the lodge with it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Because we on the lodge with it. You know
so
what I'm
they shut the freeway down.
Down.
They didn't let nobody get on the freeway.
The people was already on the freeway. They just, it was bagged up.
Oh,
because they
just,
in the middle going crazy.
Us. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Only in Detroit.
Only in Detroit.
But here's the whole thing, though. This is the funny part about it when you think about it. I do love only on the lodge with it, but here's the whole thing. I think maybe, isn't that what your guy Belle Isle for? Let him race around Belle Isle.
I mean, but look, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but we all know that Belle Isle has been taken over by the other culture, the other race, okay?
But I'm just
Black
saying,
people, that ain't our Belle Isle no more, okay? You got to pay to get up on that motherfucker. It's heavily secured. It looked good. The grass then came back. The ducks there and everything. They're not letting us go on there and act a fool.
Well,
we can't be on Belle Isle with it.
You got a point there, which brings us to our topic for
today. Good topic. Come on, tell us
good
what it
topic.
Is, man.
We are talking about gentrification.
Yeah.
But to sum it down, we're talking about the old Detroit versus Detroit. Hey, Ronnie. How you doing? Ronnie is here. Hey, Ronnie.
Now, listen, Mel. Some people don't know what gentrification is. They think it's some type of disease. They like, damn, y'all out here itching?
Well, you know what? It is not a disease unless you want to make it one. Okay,
what is it?
Gentrification is basically when all the resources are taken out of a particular community.
Come on.
For several decades.
Okay.
And then the housing prices and everything goes all the way down.
Okay.
And then most people come from the suburbs, other nationalities, or just people,
and
investors.
Push the other people out.
Yeah, and they come and they buy everything up.
Uh-huh.
They push out the people who are already there, uh-huh. and then they jack up the prices.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what it is.
Okay.
It's not just happening in Detroit. It's nope. happening in Harlem. It's happening in South Central with them putting up the Rams. Is it the Rams?
Mm-hmm.
Getting okay. a new arena in Inglewood.
Okay.
And it's definitely happening here in Detroit. So I feel like right now, let's talk about it, Detroit. We live, or if you don't live in Detroit and you listening and, you know, it's happening in your neighborhood. Because right now it's definitely a Detroit and a Detroit. You okay. know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Basketball with Ben Wallace, okay. Rasheed,
okay.
Chauncey Billups, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
I'm from the old Detroit. Like that's where I'm from the tried and true Detroit.
Right. So, you know? And I'm from the D. King Home Projects, King Homes, right downtown. And I can tell you right now, that downtown ain't the same downtown that it is right now. But let me ask you something, Mel. What are your quorums with what's happening with the new Detroit?
You know what? Here's the thing, because I lived in downtown.
Okay.
And I would say my qualm is, y'all kind of came, like, the white people kind of came like The Walking Dead.
Okay.
okay? Like, I thought y'all would have came two by two, like Moses, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Two blue hairs, two red hairs, two freckles, two Irish, two, like, you know what I'm saying? Two by two by two, you know? But I woke up. And I went to bed, and I woke up,
uh-huh.
and it was a whiteout. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I thought it was a blizzard, but it wasn't. You
they
know
was
what I'm
there
saying?
To stay.
They was there to stay. You
walking
know what I'm
saying? Their
dogs. I thought it was an isolated incident. And I ain't got no problem.
On the scooters.
You know, but what happened was some stuff became like a us and them
okay.
type thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that was the vibe. Like, even when, for instance, my leasing office, it was bought out by another larger corporation.
Okay.
My building was predominantly African American, the staff, everything like that. As soon as the other building and other people came and took over, like, you just fired the whole crew one day. Like, you go to, you know what I'm saying? These are people that been servicing you for years and stuff like that. So it's not what you do,
it's how you do it.
It's yeah. how you go about it. And it's like, nobody gave nothing about Detroit. Nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a remnant, and you knew that from mm-hmm. growing up down here. It was a remnant of people here who still kind of held on. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? For better or for worse, they did what they had to do with the resources that they had. You know what I'm
okay.
saying? And then when it became popular again, then it's like, oh, you were never here.
So basically you're kind of a little bit upset or disappointed that the natives from downtown Detroit or people that were in Detroit.
Wait, I have a question.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So did it become popular and then gentrification happened, or did gentrification start happening and then Detroit became popular?
Gentrification happened and then Detroit became popular.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I don't understand how
you. So let me tell you what my issue is. Can I tell you what my issue is with it?
Because I wound up on Flashpoint over this topic once upon a time.
So look.
So we know.
So before I go into what my issue is, I'm going to try to kind of like try to see where you're coming from. So I hear this a lot from people. They're kind of upset because people who have lived downtown for years, people who care about downtown, now they're not in a position to stay downtown because the prices have been jacked up. The prices have been raised so high. They're forced to live outside of the city and they're not able to experience, you know, being down here by the water or being in this type of location. And not only that, but at the same time, when the other race moved in, it's almost like, you know, they've been here forever and they're not really respecting the people who were there before them. Is that where you're coming from?
Oh, my God, that I
a hate. Little bit?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so let me tell you where I'm at with it. I agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to play devil's advocate because I cannot ignore the fact, you know, I'm all for my people, black power, minorities, and all of those things, but right is right and wrong is wrong. And what I cannot ignore is that 10 years ago when I was living in Lansing and I came back to visit Detroit, Detroit looked post-apocalyptic. Now, that's what I mean when I say Walking Dead. There were no buildings that were worth looking at or going into. There were no, you know, venues where you could sit outside and have fun. There were no stores. There was not a CVS downtown or a Nike. No one was really caring about Detroit. And so now you have some people that are the majority who have come in and they've bought everything like Monopoly and they are building Detroit up and they're moving in and they're pushing us out and everyone is like, oh shit. But my question is, we're crying about it now, but when we had an opportunity to make something of Detroit and buy things when it was of less value, we didn't do shit.
As a matter of fact, we contributed to the demise of Detroit. So that's my problem. I don't have a problem with the white people taking over and making it look better and beautifying it. I do have a problem with the way that they act towards me now that they're there. But I don't have a problem with what they're doing with Detroit because it was in our hands and we fumbled the ball. What you think?
You know what? I don't. Here's the devil's advocate.
Okay.
So the beautification part, I think we can probably agree on.
Okay.
I think in some aspects, they really didn't fumble the ball because I look at it like this. Investors had, why didn't they come invest then?
Mm-hmm.
What was the difference? Why didn't they invest then? You know what I'm saying? It's a difference because Kwame was the mayor and you had a black mayor with a whole black thing. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So what was the difference between what made them want to invest now?
They seen an opportunity.
You know what I'm
saying? Nobody else was grabbing it.
But the opportunity, Detroit has really been shitty for... Downtown has been shitty my whole life.
Yeah, that's what my point is.
Look how crazy everyone thought like Dan Gilbert was
mm-hmm.
when he said, hey, I'm taking my mortgage company from out in our great little office in the suburbs in Livonia, and I'm taking over that CompuWare building. Or shit, when there's Carmanos, the CompuWare building.
Mm-hmm.
That was the center of Campus Martius for a long time, but everybody thought Dan Gilbert was nuts when he said, hey, I'm moving my company downtown, I'm moving all my people downtown, and off we go.
Mm-hmm.
What's the call-in number again? 248?
809-5004.
248-809-5004.
5004. The call number is 248-809-5004. It's right here on the live. If you guys want to call in right now and talk about how you feel about Detroit versus Detroit, you know? And another thing people are crying
about. Well, you know
about,
what? Somebody said, Michael said, who had the money and the opportunity?
What do you mean?
That's why I said mentor.
I need y'all
mean?
To be specific. When y'all talk, be specific. When I say people had the opportunity and the money, listen, houses 10 years ago, they were selling houses for $1,500, $1,000. You know what I mean? We could have grabbed those properties. We could have sold a couple chicken dinners, worked a couple more hours and did what we wanted to do. But if you wasn't going to do it, don't complain now that somebody else snatched up the opportunity.
Okay, so this is what I'll say to that effect. So I did work at a particular law firm.
Okay.
Who was one of the largest foreclosure law firms in Michigan
mm-hmm.
during a time where foreclosures were extremely high. There are particular banks who actually have lawsuits for fraudulent foreclosures.
Okay.
So the idea was, let me snatch all these houses up. A lot of banks did not work with people on modifications
okay.
and everything and refis. So all these people ran from these houses.
Okay.
Not knowing what to do. The banks, I mean, these people were getting harassed, people walking up to their door because it's on the website. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You got people putting signs in front of your door. Like, it was really a big thing.
Right.
So if I can snatch up all the house, if I take everything, if I could foreclose on all these houses, now they dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got a foreclosure, I can't go buy this. Like, I don't have the liquid cash. You
okay.
see what I'm saying? Because now you done foreclosed on my house. Now I got to go get an apartment. They did balloon mortgages, all
okay.
that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying?
So you said that there was some dilemmas.
So there was some dilemmas there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? As far as getting the house and like the houses and stuff like that. When
okay.
that when the housing market crashed. You know what I'm saying? What I will say to one end, no, a lot of people wasn't educated on what to do, but a lot of people were swindled.
Okay.
You know, and bullied by the banks to get out those houses. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another part of why a lot of Detroiters left parts of the city too, is because they got forced out by the banks.
Okay.
And so then
that's
if I have the foreclosure man taking all the houses, and then I have the man that's putting the city back together as the refi man,
mm-hmm.
then what do we have?
Nothing.
I mean, I'm just saying. Yep. That's what I'm saying.
That's a good point.
So I'm going to take the houses. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be the loner. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like judge, jury, and executioner
okay.
almost. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in that interim, where do I have time to, you know, get some liquid cash and all this other kind of stuff, because I got to be out of my house in 6 months.
So in a perfect world, Mel, I want to know, how do you think they should have did it? If you could have been in control and you were pulling the strings, what would you would have done differently?
I mean, I can't change anybody. I mean, I obviously can't change anybody's attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Leave a certain amount for people who were here.
Okay.
You know, like, you don't, if you have 28 floors and 1,000 units in here. You know what I'm saying? You got 28 floors. You got 13 apartments, 12 apartments, 14 on each floor. You know what I'm saying? You can't save a section, a you know.
A section for what? Give me an example. Come on, speak. Talk to me.
I'm just saying, so, like, how they have, almost how, like, people, like, even in L.A. right now, they're trying to do, like, rent control because the rent is getting ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it keeps in line so that people aren't priced out. You know what I'm saying?
But they want to keep the riffraff. They want to keep the riffraff out.
But, it's not necessarily riffraff.
Why does the business care?
They don't.
Businesses don't care. Businesses are spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. I mean, but I'm just saying. But at the end of the day, it's still a human being, though. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it might engender goodwill.
It's still a human being. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's still a human being attached to it, though. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the whole idea behind, like I said,
it's to be inclusive.
Right, but the whole idea behind gentrification is deliberately taking the resources out of a community so that you can come back and sweep that bitch up and take all the people out. Just, you turn around the corner, it's Skid Row.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here,
it's still Skid
absolutely.
Row. Yeah. But it costs an arm and a leg to live that way.
Because they only worked on downtown. They didn't work on the east side of Detroit. Oh, yeah. They didn't work on the west side of Detroit. They're just working on downtown.
And that's what I'm saying. So that's why I was like, it's pockets. It's pockets. I would say it's
Midtown.
Well, you got like the Avenue of Fashion. You got 700 corner. But so, I mean, but here's the thing. Like, and I do, because I hear that a lot. But like my whole take on that is, man, you got to focus your efforts somewhere first. Like everybody's always screaming and clamoring about the neighborhood. Dude, and that's honestly one of the biggest challenges that I don't think people understand about Detroit or don't realize about Detroit, especially people not from here. And I said, I've been here since 96. So
okay.
I'm from here now. But Detroit is huge. Detroit is 146 square miles.
Yep.
You can take New York, Chicago, L.A., Miami, D.C., Boston, and a couple other cities and put them inside Detroit and still have room left over.
Mm.
When Detroit went through its big, you know, hey, growth, everything's good, life's good, sprawl. But then when things started going sideways, nobody wanted to contract.
Nobody.
And nobody wanted to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's why you have all of these, you know, you've got all these neighborhoods where there's one house still standing on the street, two houses still standing on the street. You know, because the fire and police departments they don't have the resources to get there. And so it's, you know, you've got to start somewhere.
That's why I say you do got to start somewhere. But I think the biggest thing. That's why I said I think the biggest thing in the old Detroit is the. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Is just the attitude. You know what I'm saying? It's the attitude. I think it's
nothing that bothers me more.
And I think it's more so the attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but explain what you mean.
So the attitude is, I walk down the street and it's like, what you doing here?
Like I ain't lived here my whole life.
Like, I ain't lived here my whole life.
You just get here.
I don't want to feel uncomfortable in Whole Foods on Woodward.
Okay. Anyone who has bought a house in Detroit in the last 2 years are usually my least favorite people on the planet.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who suddenly feel like they are the guardians of what is Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what should and should not be.
That's true. Yeah. And you know what? And what cracks me up is, you know, I told you I grew up in the King Homes. So the King Homes is located right between Larner and Lafayette, which is one street over from Jefferson. So it's very much so downtown.
Yep.
And the funniest shit that I ever see is how white people be riding their scooters past the King Homes, their bikes late at night. I mean, it's 2:00, they're jogging with their German shepherds, and I'm thinking, don't you motherfuckers know where y'all at?
You know what? I think that's the funniest part. No.
Y'all about to get robbed, killed, still.
But not really. That's the point about privilege.
Yes,
I always make a joke because as that's the whole thing about gentrification. I always make a joke. It's because it's like, y'all to be in the middle of like the worst neighborhood.
The
you
worst.
Know what I'm saying?
And think they.
But here's the whole thing. One thing I learned out.
Okay.
When white people move to the neighborhood, there's two police cars for y'all somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It's two police cars. Surveilling y'all at all times.
Okay.
That's why they can ride down Van Dyke and Matt. You know what I feel me?
Okay.
And got a yoga studio. It's a yoga studio on Van Dyke in Lafayette. You
period.
Feel me? Period.
You be like, what the fuck? You and know, I mean, you buy a crack house?
That's what I'm saying. So the whole thing is, but it's two police cars somewhere. I don't know where they are. Because it's just like when, like, Becky and them be calling at the barbecue, the police be right there.
On
you
time.
Know what I'm saying?
Ain't been on time for 300
days. My cousin going to bleed
days.
To death. My cousin going to bleed to death. They got to take him in the car. You feel me?
Right.
But, no. Becky called, like, somebody fucking with her. That's why I said. So it's an invisible police presence that y'all don't even know that y'all got. That's why it'd be like, scoot, scoot.
Well, and some of it's arrogance. Like, I went through Boston during the whole, like, changeover there. I lived in D.C.
Okay.
When a lot of things were changing there. And so, like I said, I've been here since 96. And, you know, we've been holding events downtown and doing stuff downtown since 01. And it does. Here's the challenge for me. like for 20, well, so yeah, so for 23 years, every time I told somebody, because you, hey, where are you from? Like if I'm traveling around the country, mm-hmm. I would say Detroit. Because it's easier than, oh, I live in Farmington Hills or I live in Novi, and then they follow up with what, where, whatever. So I'm from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
The immediate gas phase and the basically just assuming that I'm carrying a gun or that I'm on drugs or that I have drugs.
Really?
So I dealt with that forever.
As a white man?
Oh, hell
that's
yeah.
That's what they're assuming?
No, Detroit had to, and so now,
okay.
Now that Detroit is coming back and okay. doing its thing, now I'm not supposed to say I'm from Detroit anymore.
Really?
Now it's a thing. So to me, it's not, so in this, and this is what kills me. It's not even, I don't even, I know the whole new Detroit, old Detroit thing is a thing. Cause like I said, I wound up on Flashpoint over at Once Upon a Time, but like Detroit is so weird to me because nowhere else that I lived in Boston, DC, New York, I've lived all over the animosity between the city and the suburbs here
yep.
is unparalleled.
Well, like, where do you think crazy. That it comes from?
I mean, you listen to the city, you know, you listen to the history of how things happened and the white flight and 68
yeah,
uh-huh. Coleman yeah. and all that
and
stuff.
And the riots. And
dude, and I get it. Yeah. I mean, but still, God, get over it. Like, you know, Shinola. Oh, it's not Detroit enough because they only assemble things here. They don't manufacture things here. Or, you know, like, oh, God, I will never. This is one of my favorite stories ever. When this place was opening,
mm-hmm.
They're grand. Like, we were downstairs in the thing having a drink,
mm-hmm.
and a guy walks up to me and he's like, oh, I heard that you're the guy that owns, that's opening up the podcast studio up there. And I said, yeah, I am. And he's like, oh, it's so good to see you're coming because, you know, those Podcast Detroit assholes have their building in Royal Oak and they just use the Detroit name. And I said, wow. I said, so here's the really funny thing. I'm Dave, one of the owners of Podcast Detroit.
Oh, you're the podcast asshole.
And I said, and by the way, we started in the Russell Industrial Center. We've had a studio in the Penobscot. We've had a studio in Southwest this entire time.
Okay.
We've always been downtown. And oh, by the way, know who you're talking to yeah. before you start
before
talking
you say
shit.
Something.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but
true.
You know what? That is really true. And Cam says there are pockets on the east side that they are working on too, not just downtown. White folks are rollerblading all over the east side.
All
they are
over.
Working on cleaning house. This is not right, and something needs to be done about it. You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
Okay, but listen.
It is a little...
See, that's what I'm saying, though. But this is the point that I'm making, and I need people to tune in, and I need people to really feel where I'm coming from. All right. I'm going to give you that maybe it's not right the way that they're going about it. But when you say somebody needs to do something about it, the somebody is us. The somebody is you. Do something about it. Listen, Detroit is not just all ignorant, uneducated people. There are a lot of intelligent African Americans who have degrees or don't have degrees that have money, and they have an opportunity to make a change. They had an opportunity to make a change, and I did not see it personally. I'm sorry. So I'm not really falling on the bandwagon. If you don't like their attitudes, just correct them when they treating you as such. But as far as them moving in, if they wouldn't have done it, we would have still been walking around looking like mummies downtown. I'm sorry.
So let me see.
That's always Kevin said. What's Kevin the alternative?
Kevin said church. So the number is 248.
Come on.
809-5004.
Come on, y'all.
The number again is 248.
Speak on it.
809-5004. Kevin said, preach, Judge Miles. That's an interesting thing because a lot of people say that. And yes, there was some opportunities.
Plenty.
And some businesses. Mm-hmm. I would say that. There were some businesses that maybe people could have purchased and everything like that. However, like we talked about, we don't know behind the scenes because the same loan that black man would have had to go in and get might not have been the same loan that somebody else had to go in and get.
This is true.
That's number one.
Yep.
This is true. We know that redlining is a real thing.
What is redlining? Some people don't even know what it is. Well,
redlining is basically when you take an area and property and raise up the prices.
To get people out.
To get people out.
Because you want people out.
You know what I'm saying? Because you want people out.
The bottom line.
That's you kind of redline these particular areas. So when we had these things and when you talked about the attitude, and it has a lot to do with that animosity between the city and the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the animosity, and that's why I said, so... One big example is they won't even let the Q rail go all the way through Woodward. Why not? Anywhere else.
You know what's funny?
Anywhere else you would connect Woodward because it's a major street to connect people from the city
mm-hmm.
to people to the suburbs from coming back and forth. You understand what I'm saying?
So what you think that's about? What is your reasoning? What do you think is behind that?
One, okay. L. Brooks Patterson. That's number one.
Oh,
I think number one.
Yeah.
I think Oakland County, here's the whole thing. And just like you said, yes, we could have did something about it, mm-hmm. but we are still 13%. You take 100 marbles and you got to separate 13 of us and put the other one, 87 over here. We are only 13 marbles.
Okay.
So we need some help from these other marbles.
Okay, that's true.
We need some allies from mm-hmm. these other marbles. Yep. You see what I'm saying?
I get it.
So an ally, so don't come to Detroit and say, and don't take the problems of Detroit. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, don't take, that's you like preaching. Cultural, that's like cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Don't tell you me preaching. You want my lips and my ass and my music, but you don't want to fight the fight with me.
That's right.
You
know that's what I'm saying? True. Now that's
and
true.
And that's the alternative. So one thing, if we really want to be a city, mm-hmm. then we would connect the suburbs. We would connect sure. places like what we would have that mass transportation that everybody else has.
And again, we're the only city that and I've we're ever the only city that
and the
it.
Reason we don't have it, mm. it ain't got nothing to do with the Motor City. It has everything to do with the fact that that's going to be too much access for these people to come into my neighborhood.
Oh, that's
it's still
deep.
My neighborhood.
Ooh, that's
today,
deep.
Yes, but little quick history lesson. So there was an entire trolley car system.
Oh, yeah, I know
that.
Yeah,
that existed until GM came along and crushed them.
They call it in. Now, Dave, I got a question. When they call in, will the viewers on Facebook be able to hear them?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. We got a caller. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
This is Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
Who is Ronnie? Do I know her?
City Kitty. We missing you, boo.
Yes, it is. This is one third of the City Kitty.
That ain't Ronnie Chanel. How you doing?
I am magnificent. How are you ladies doing today?
We great. Are doing good.
First, I like to say y'all holding it the fuck down.
Thank
okay?
you. Thank you.
Y'all doing a damn good thing. I'm loving the topic today. Y'all kicking a lot of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's super dope. I love the topic. I am on the fence
okay.
with gentrification. Okay. I'm in between. I side with the old Detroit, because that's what we know. I like the grit and the grime and the hustle of Detroit. But I also like the revitalization of Detroit. But yeah. if it means kicking all of us out, and when I say all of us, I don't mean just black people. Mm-hmm. I mean kicking the people out that can't afford $1,500 of rent for a one-bedroom apartment downtown.
Okay. Then
when they were paying $650. Yep. I had a homegirl move into her apartment back in 2007, and she was paying $675 a month. They have raised her rent to over $1,200 right now.
Yeah.
More than, almost just about double.
Damn.
For the same one-bedroom basement
That's
apartment.
True. Yeah. It's happening because you know, they have to do what market value is. If other people are doing their, you know, pricing at $1,500, they need to be right around that. That price range, but it's unfortunate.
But I mean, New York has does it's places where they do rent control. They have some separate mm-hmm. units.
But Ronnie, can I ask you something? Now you know we African American, so we know our people more than anybody. And I hate to mm-hmm. be this person, but you know what? We will fuck some shit up, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, look, let's take Bel-I. Let's just do Bel-I.
Let's say this. No. You're saying African Americans. African Americans ain't fucking shit up. Niggas is fucking
I ain't want to do
niggas
it. Fucking but you're right. But you're right. The niggas is going to fuck up everything. And so I'm not trying to be funny, but me as a black person, I don't even want to live around all niggas. Because they sometimes, not all of them, but they will bring down your fucking property value. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's so hard for me as a black person to take up for us when I see what's going on.
But you know what? Have you been to Westland lately? It's some trailer parks that I don't.
I don't like hanging in Roseville.
That's why I said it's some trailer because I said I can go at either extreme. Because
been the trailer. When the last time you been? I don't
go there neither.
What I will say is, it's been plenty of times when Detroit was going through that phase where I seen, and this will upset me. I seen people cold hearted, come from the suburbs after the Tigers game and literally fuck up the statues in Greektown and all that, and then go home and then be like, we did it.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
After those concerts
point.
And all that.
That's a good
you know
point.
Where Sweet McNutt, where, what was the restaurant?
After opening day,
yeah.
drop all their trash okay. on
yep.
the street.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Y'all got a point. You got a point. You got a point.
And they blow across their grass over in Grosse Pointe.
Yep. Okay.
But they're going to litter and drop their bottles, they whatever, and go back home.
Yep.
Okay.
And
you
that,
know,
you
and
know.
I'm going to tell you, nothing pisses me off. The real matter is the motherfucking bike lane.
Yes.
Oh, that bike lane.
You take Jefferson down to two lanes. It's a four lane. It was four lanes on each side.
Awful idea.
Who I would love to have a conversation with whoever thought that was a good idea.
That's what the fuck
but that's also part of keeping people from down there. If it's only two lanes and it's always traffic, I don't want to be down there.
According to the mayor's office, that's to improve the flow of mobility and walkability. In
bullshit.
You know what? Guess what? They, you know what they in for?
Sorry, that was my government white people.
You know voice. What they in for? More, look, Ronnie, they finna have more crackheads on bikes. That's your government white voice?
That's my government. I'm with the government and I'm here to help.
Okay.
That's my.
Dave, you sound so white.
That's the voice I'm going to use when I'm trying to get my interest rate lower. I'm going to be like, Dave, call in. Dave finna be like, I'm Melanie.
My credit just shot up just from hearing his voice.
That's right.
Didn't it, Ronnie? Oh, man. But that is
but you want to know something? You know what's so funny? When we talk about real shit, don't nobody want to talk and don't nobody want to tune in. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody called in. But if we was talking about dick, asses, and booty, everybody want to be tuned in. I need some people to call in and let me know how you feel about this.
I mean, they on my live.
We've had three of them pull up so far. I have never seen a black person on a pedal pub.
Oh,
never.
Me neither.
You know what?
Okay. I've been here forever. I've been here for a year now.
I did the pedal pub,
but let me tell you something about the pedal pub.
I've never been on one.
I think the pedal pub is better for white women because they do spin class, okay? The pedal pub is not for black girls because we want to take too many pictures. We don't want to sweat
if
we
want
to take too many pictures. Because the one I was on, everybody was on their live Instagram, and the guy was like, dude, you have to paddle.
Because
like,
I can't carry all
you have
other
to paddle. Like, and they all on there swinging they flip-flops and shit. Like, and I'm on there like, woo, 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 woo. Like, I'm not
they're
about
all
to.
On there being
and it's kind of expensive. Hey, isn't it expensive?
Not a fan of pedal pubs.
It's not really that expensive. I mean, it's fun.
I want to kill everyone I see on a scooter.
Here's
that's the dumbest thing ever. Like, when I saw one on 4th Street in Visitor in Southwest, I was like, who the fuck rode this scooter all the way from downtown?
Oh, here's people still on scooters now.
Here's a great story for you. My buddy Andy, he owns a Detroit bus company. And like he's kind of a trust fund kid. But like he's very passionate about whatever he decides to get into at that particular point in time. So he decided.
Is he married? You said he's a trust fund kid.
No, he's not actually. He decided he was going to try to, he wanted to see like, it's a job. Like you can go pick up these scooters and charge them overnight and then drop them off around the city. Like that's a job. You get paid for it.
Okay.
So he wanted to see what it was really like to go hunt them down. And he noticed that like a lot of the real, cause, and apparently the bounty gets higher, the longer they've been off the grid and the longer like they haven't seen them. And so most of those were like in the neighborhoods, in projects, in like less than decent housing situations.
Okay. And people were scared to go get
it. No. And so what he did is he would hang out there and he saw a kid like pushing one around that was like screeching like mad because it knew that it was supposed to be phoning home, and he talked to the kid for a while. And so because of that conversation, like a couple conversations, like he launched a project called Play Freebird, where he got Razor and a bunch of scooter companies, because like these kids, like, and that's part of that whole us versus them mentality, or that whole us, not even a mentality, it's a real situation. Dude, you got to have a driver's license and a credit card to hop on one of those.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to have thousands of those things running around the city? And like, and kids are going to go, I want a ride scooter. So he launched this Play Freebird thing where he got Razor and everybody else to donate like 1,500 scooters, 2,000 scooters, helmets, yada, 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 you know, the non-mechanized ones, the mechanized ones,
cool.
And drop them off in those neighborhoods where he was finding all those really hard to find ones.
Wow, that's nice. The stuff they need to talk about.
Yeah, they do.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that's how I got on Visitor, huh?
That's how I got there. Yeah.
It was a bounty out for that scooter. It was a bounty out for that scooter.
Well, and the highest bounties are only like $20, so it's like, nah, that ain't worth $20 to me. No.
Mm. So you mean tell me even a scooter's got a police presence?
They do. You can find them. The GPS, they're all GPS tagged, yeah.
I mean, that is absolutely, and that was my point of saying, if you're going to come to the neighborhood, you're part of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You got to get part.
Don't be afraid.
You know what I'm saying?
But isn't that, is that Detroit, or God, isn't that the issue with America as a whole right now, where, dude, like my great-grandmother, fresh off the boat from Italy, 1902, she would beat her children's asses. I remember this growing up around them in the summertime, if they spoke Italian.
Okay.
She was like, no. She's like, no, you're in America. You speak English. You blend. Like, it was the melting pot. You blend. Now everybody wants to maintain so much of their freaking individuality and not blend in. And not like it's, hi, I'm here from the suburbs and I'm here to plant my flag.
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh. Dude, you moved into a neighborhood. That doesn't make the neighborhood yours. That means you moved into a neighborhood.
And that's exactly what it is. It's almost like you came in. It was like, this is my, and even with the pushing out of the small business. And then all the small businesses wasn't.
Like the hat shop. What's that hat
Henry
shop?
The
like
Hatter.
Henry the Hatter. Yeah. Where your place is. Yeah. Small Plates is gone. What's the other restaurant that was it's Small Places, another one?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Angelino's is gone. Yeah. It's now Buddy's chain restaurant.
Gone, yeah.
Yeah, they're replacing these small mom and pops. They're closing Russell Street Deli in the Eastern Market soon, supposedly.
So that's
the whole thing. You're taking the character.
And but that is a investor real estate gentrification situation. I look at some of the things I look at where whether it's the Russell Bazaar or like somebody that's lived in the same place for 10 years and that kind of stuff. I look at it from the business owner's perspective where, mother of God, you know what? For 30 years I've owned this building and I had to keep rents so effing low just so that they weren't unoccupied and I wasn't losing my ass completely. And I still had to pay the upkeep and I still had to pay the ridiculous city taxes and I still had to pay the maintenance. You're telling me now there's a chance for me to finally, God, make some of that money back and I can start raising my rents and I can start getting, you know, I can start recouping some of that money and maybe actually see a light at the end of the tunnel that's not an oncoming train?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Bring it.
That's real.
So what are some of the people saying? What are your viewers saying? I would like to know.
That is very real.
Are they saying something? Are they talking to us?
Well, Judge and Cam.
They don't have much to say.
Well, yeah, Judge sure said, preach. You know, I mean, Kev said I was dropping bombs, and Cam said, come on, Negroes. But let us know what you think. You know what I'm saying?
Call in.
248-809.
It's not like you're going to get
a,
you're not going to get a busy signal. We can't support more than one caller.
But that's what I was saying. That's what I was trying to tell you about people. If it ain't talking about, you know, those type of things, people don't be wanting to talk about stuff.
But also,
that kills me.
But also, kind of what we touched on is that the fact about that's what even with gentrification, that's what hurt me so bad when they killed Nipsey Hussle.
Okay,
is because Nipsey Hussle was really trying to fight.
The good fight
of the gentrification that was coming to California because those people ain't gonna have no place to go.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they pushed him back. Like, he said Small Place was not making money unless there was a show at the Opera House as well as Angelino's. Very true. Very true.
Well, but how much
Small Place and Angelino's was caught the overflow. I worked at the beer company for 8 years, which is right between the both of them. And a lot of times they would get the overflow from our business at the beer company.
Okay.
And I get Small Plates wasn't making a bunch of money then. But now you got all these people there and y'all done squirreled them out.
Yeah, you they could have had the opportunity.
Now they can't make the money.
That's very true.
Those people weren't there. The beer company lasted through the toughest times they had down there. They lasted. But
so laughably.
Y'all pushing them out.
DBC is one of those places where, like I said, we've been doing events downtown for 20 years now, and it was at DBC on the front porch there in like either 2011 or 2012. I can't remember which it was, but it was one of those 2 years where all of a sudden my business partner and my co-host Bob, I just hear him go, "Holy shit, Detroit really is coming back. Look, yeah. There's a white girl jogging and no one's running after her."
Yep. Wow. Wow.
I was one of a handful of black bartenders downtown at that time.
So we used to do our events there every other month.
Yeah, when I worked there, I was the second black girl to work there. And now I do like the mixed culture, and you know, I love DBC. I'm plugging y'all. Y'all owe me some money anyway. but I love DBC because it always was a mixed place. It was never black. It was never white. Everyone came in there from all over.
Okay. Yep.
And I love that. But you don't get that everywhere in the city. And Small Plates didn't have that good, that vibe, that cheers, that home feeling vibe. And that's why I believe Small Plates got pushed out, you know.
Well, I know it's not downtown. It's more a Cass Corridor.
I was going to say with the different neighborhoods. You got Bricktown, the financial district.
Well, but I think DSC does a good, I think this place does a good job with that. I think DSC does a really good job with having a good blended crowd.
Yeah, it does. It does. First of all, they play house music. So anybody that plays house music is a fan of mine anyway. But yeah, because we only got about 10 minutes left on the show. So we want to hear what you got to say. Call in 248-809-5004. Like we talked about. And I mean, it's such a big topic, and it may be a segue into something we talk about a little bit and touch on next week. But that is what Nipsey Hussle, like we said, he was trying to do. And he actually, he actually understood black economics.
Yeah.
And like we talked about who having the
who had the biggest influence? Was it Nipsey Hussle or was it Tupac? Okay, now that's something that we're definitely going to get into. But I just want to say something about the Nipsey Hussle thing and pulling it all into the gentrification. Black people, African Americans, I feel like we are some of the smartest human beings. I mean, literally, I feel America was built on our backs, right? And we had a potential to be so great, but we do not use our potential. Number one, because we do not come together. We do not pull together. We are so, what I have seen is we are so used to making excuses instead of finding solutions. And that's what really bothers me, because even though we're not on the same playing field, even still, we have come a long way. And there are so many things that we could be doing better in the community that I don't see us doing. And so with Nipsey Hussle, you know, to me, he was like our modern day Martin Luther King. And look at how he went out in his community, in his own community, by a black person, right? That's deep.
How many of us knew that about Nipsey Hussle prior to him passing?
A lot of us did, but not a lot.
How many people spread the word about Nipsey Hussle? Who was talking about Nipsey and what Nipsey was doing before he was murdered?
A lot of people was talking about what he was doing, but nobody wasn't listening. It wasn't important until people
nobody
saw
how
he
was, how he died.
We didn't
know what Nipsey was doing.
People knew.
We didn't know what he was doing.
A lot of people didn't know.
A lot of people did know.
So, I mean, I would be, well, one, some stuff he really just started doing, but a lot of people did know, but not enough people, not the soccer mom riding down the street didn't know about what Nipsey Hussle was doing.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to use this word, but I mean, I guess it could be kind of applied. I mean, he's like a martyr. He died.
True.
He died for what he believed in the area he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was sad because we all know that story too well of jealousy and bitterness and envy. But what I do think happened is I see what you don't see now. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I see that generation of people who want to take on black economics. I see the Meek Mills who now owns part ownership of Lids. If we're going to wear these hats, then we might as well own the hats. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I see the Jay-Z's who told people to take their drug money or legit money, street money, and buy back those blocks. And I personally know people who are buying back the neighborhood. So I think
I got a question. I got a question for Judge.
Okay.
Judge, you were saying how we are the smartest people and we're not living up to our full potential.
Absolutely.
What have you done and what are you doing to do that?
All right. So right now in my past and in my present and in my future, I am a certified financial counselor. I give out free financial counseling, free consultations. But as I can tell you, the black community, they're not interested in really learning about how to be financially savvy and how to really grow. What they're interested in is getting money right now at this point in time. They don't want to do the due diligence. They don't want to take risk. They don't want to learn.
What you just said, the black community.
Absolutely.
What you're doing is grouping us.
Yeah.
It's grouping everybody. And that's not the case.
No, of course, when you talk about the African American community, we can never say all. But what I'm talking about is the majority. And what I'm talking about is how everyone that I have come in contact with has nothing but excuses and want to complain. But this is your life. Take your life by the balls and do something about it.
Too. Who are you coming in contact with? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Because I don't need any of that. The people I surround myself with are positive people, are doing things, are growing, are movers and shakers.
Okay.
I don't get none of that. I don't get none of that. So
well,
you
know, that's all. That's
see,
you.
Okay, wait a minute. Where am I at? So I'm taking all of this and I'm getting all of this.
I mean, well, you see it every day. If you watch the news, you see people complaining. I mean, unless you're Stevie Wonder, everyone sees what I'm talking about.
You know
they
that.
See the
they
complainers.
They want to put out.
Right? Don't you see? Dave, do you see the complainers?
For sure.
Yeah.
Have you seen the complainers?
Yeah. So listen.
So we know they're there, right?
I don't watch the news. You know why? Well, because
that's
I
the
know
problem.
What they want us to see. But they want us to see the negative and the complaining and the black folks that ain't doing shit and the black folks that don't want shit. And the black folks who just broken down in the bottom and in the gutter, that's what they want us to see. But I don't know those people. I don't surround myself with those people. Everybody I fuck with is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
But are they doing something to help the situation? You might be doing something for yourself, but are you doing something for the community? Are you doing something for economical increase? Are you doing something?
So hold on,
ladies.
You gotta
start at home first.
So hold on,
but
ladies.
You have to take care of you first.
That's true.
And build from there. Then you can go on and help others. But I don't fuck with people that ain't moving and shaking. They ain't making something out of their lives. They ain't doing nothing.
Okay, okay. Ladies.
So you have to look and think, who? What am I doing? What am I attracting? If that's all you hear and that's all you know, then ain't the community is you and what you're surrounding yourself with.
Okay, I hear you.
So hold on, because we only got about 3 minutes, so okay. We're going to wrap it up. So what I'm taking away from both of these, and what I will say with Judge, is that I have been in financial services myself and working at the cemetery about pre-arranging and people taking care of business. I've seen people who work at Ford, GM, Chrysler, people who got good jobs, mm-hmm. people who are sound mm-hmm. in mind and all that, and this is still stuff that they don't want to hear.
Exactly.
And stuff they don't want to talk
exactly.
about. What
That's
I will say is you can never say the wrong thing to the right person.
But those Best Buy ads come and tell me what to do with my tax refunds
yeah,
and go buy a new
saying?
Big screen TV.
Yeah,
see, the
so,
thing
why,
is,
why,
you
so,
got to be
so,
in it. You got to be really in
so
it. You got to be in the political scene. You got to be really into the community. You got to be really
yeah,
dealing with
I,
things to understand where I'm coming from.
But what I'm saying
you know what
is,
I'm
so
saying?
We got these 2 minutes. So, let's wrap it up. So in these 2 minutes, that's why I said, so let me finish this. So that's why I said, so on both sides, mm-hmm. yes, there are those people in the world who don't want to do anything. But my point was, I think Nipsey has sparked a conversation
yep.
in a lot of people that has never been sparked
before. Yep.
So the fact that we are even having this conversation is a testament to what the man's legacy was. So with that being said, because like I said, I've worked in all those industries. I worked from probation to to the law firm, to everything. So I have seen all sides. But listen, this has been the edition of City Kitties, because we got 2 minutes left. We might pick this up next week. The topic for next week
good.
Is going to be who had the bigger.
Miss Sophia's going to be home next
yeah,
week.
You so stupid. Who?
Yeah, come on home, baby.
Our topic for next week is going to be who had the larger influence. Was it Nipsey Hussle or was it Tupac?
And why?
You know what I'm saying? And that's going to be what we talk about next week. This has been our edition of City Kitties, episode 5. Tune in on Facebook Live. And also, you can catch us on
everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Everywhere fine podcasts are
iTunes,
sold.
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker.
We are all the places.
We're on iHeartRadio.
All that good stuff. So just type us in. But you can find us on the website.
Yeah, the Podcast Detroit website.
Detroit website. Please go look us up. Listen, we'll be back with all 3 City Kitties next week. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
Peace.